There's no greater song than Amazing Grace. There's a portion in that song that just calls the name of Jesus. And then if you've not been around the church very much, there's a portion of that song that just simply says, He knows. He knows. Well, what is it that He knows? He knows every hurt. He knows every pain. He knows every struggle. He knows every problem. Every concern. I'm glad that He knows. And let me tell you something. I'm glad that we serve the kind of God that when we go to Him, we don't have to spell out in detail what we need. For He knows better than I do. Amen. Sometimes life gets so difficult and life gets so hard. This is the honest God truth. The struggle is so intense that sometimes I just have to go and get on my knees and just say, The Bible says that we serve such a wise and all-knowing God that He's able to look behind that and see what I really meant. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 4. St. Luke, chapter 4. It is our custom, if you can and if you will, stand as we honor the reading of God's word. I want to begin reading this morning in the 16th verse of the 4th chapter of Luke. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. I want you to notice that He found that place. He looked and made sure that He got to this place. And this is what the Lord Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then I like verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All right. And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, good news for bad people. Amen. Good news for bad people. Divine and gracious Father, I pray now that you would speak to all of us in such a way that we all will be able to understand it, to enjoy it, to experience it, and to live it out in our daily lives. Holy Spirit of God, fall fresh in this place. Fall upon the saved, fall upon the unsaved. Move upon every pew in every heart. And do not, I pray, do not let us go out of here this morning the same way we came in. Change us, oh God, that we may go out and impact the world for Christ. In Jesus' name we asked. Amen. You may be seated. Believe it or not, after all of this time, 2,000 years, the world still is confused about who Jesus Christ really is. After all of this time, the world still do not understand that Jesus was more than just a good man. That Jesus was more than just a prophet sent from God. The world still don't understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That he is the only Savior that the world will ever know. But not only is the world confused about who he is, the world is still confused about the reason why he came. For the most part, most of us, unfortunately, even in the church, most of us are concerned about two things. We're concerned about our health, and we're concerned about our wealth. And the truth of the matter is that for most of us, if those two things are okay in our lives, we really don't see a great need for Jesus. Now, can I tell you this morning that God is concerned about every part of your life. God is concerned about every aspect of your life. He's concerned about your health. He's concerned about your financial situation. God is concerned about your vocation and your education. He's concerned about your career. But folks, Jesus did not come into this world to be known as a healer. Jesus did not come into this world simply for the purpose of healing our physical body. Nor did Jesus come into this world to be some type of financial advisor. Though all of the wisdom and understanding about finances and prosperity is tied up in him, he did not come to be known as a healer, nor did he come to be known as a financial advisor. But in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said of his own accord, "The Son of Man come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost." Amen. Now, folks, listen to me. Out of everything else that God may do in your life, out of all of the good things that you may enjoy from the gracious hand of God, you might become financially independent. You might become famous and gain all of the prestige of the world. And you may enjoy a good marriage and raise a good family. But if you miss the blessing of salvation, you miss the very best that God has to offer. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came, he came into this world, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew up in obscurity, suffered and died on an old rugged cross and rose from the dead so that you and I could have eternal life. Now, when you think about that, when you think about what God is offering and to who God is offering it to, you have to admit with me that that is good news for bad people. Amen. The truth of the matter is that none of us deserve to be saved. The truth of the matter is that none of us deserve the opportunity of salvation. But I thank God this morning for this text. I thank God that at the very heart of Christmas is salvation. All of us have heard the saying, the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. But let me ask you a question. What's the reason? What's the reason why Jesus came? Jesus came so that you and I could be saved. He came so that you and I could experience eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins. The background. Let's run to a close this morning. The background behind this text is that Jesus had just been baptized by John. Luke tells us that it was after he had departed and left Jordan that on his way from Jordan, still dripping with the water of Jordan, he runs into the devil. I want to tell you something this morning, that anytime you and I make a decision for the Lord, anytime we step out in faith, anytime we decide for salvation or service, you're going to have problems with the devil. The Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and for 40 days he was tested. He was tempted. He was tried by the devil. After he had put the devil in his place, the Bible tells us that he eventually come to a city called Nazareth, where he had been born and raised up. He grew up there as a lad, and he goes to the temple. And the Bible says that they hand Jesus the book for to read. And Jesus intentionally, on purpose, found this text, Isaiah 61. And he read it in their hearing. I want us to look this morning at the message of what Jesus Christ read to them and what he's saying to us this morning. Because the very heart of the season that we're getting ready to celebrate, the very foundation of it is the salvation of sinners. I thank God for that. I thank God this morning. You may not, but I thank God this morning that Jesus Christ has been and always will be a friend of sinners. Can I just be honest and open with you this morning and tell you that even after I've been saved for 35 years, I still hadn't conquered this thing completely about sin. Can I tell you this morning that I still need the grace and the forgiveness of God today as much as I did when I first got saved? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but church folk make me sick sometimes. Because we set up like we got it all together. We set up like we got it all figured out. And I want to tell you this morning that the same dirt that God pulled me out of, he pulled you out of it too. You just can't admit it. Oh, God, this is good news. Yes, verse 18 is good news. Yes, it's hope for the sinner. Yes, listen, it's a reason to rejoice for those of us who find ourselves getting up more than we're standing up. Come on. And so he took this thing. Eddie, he intentionally found Isaiah. And Isaiah had written some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. He would not come the way the world would expect him. The world expected him to come riding on a white horse and robed in purple and fine linen. But Jesus came in a humble beginning. The apostle Paul tells us why. Listen, Paul tells us that Jesus became poor so that you and I could become rich in the grace and the mercy of God. And so the little cop and the boy, he picks up the scroll and he begins to read. And the first thing that I want you to see, like, listen, keep your Bibles open. Listen, keep your Bibles open. Let the Spirit speak to you this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is that Isaiah tells us that he was well qualified for the work that he would have to do. Listen what Isaiah said. Listen, in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Listen, let me tell you, for all of us who are thinking about going into ministry, and for all of us who are in ministry, and for all of us who think about serving God, you are not qualified to serve God apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah said, first of all, listen, oh boy, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good. This is good. Isaiah said, first of all, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus read. That's what Jesus was speaking about concerning himself. Because remember, Isaiah is prophesying about the one that was born in Bethlehem. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can I tell you, listen to me, that sometimes we see no great move of the ministries and the things we try to do because we put people in position who's not anointed for the position. Jesus was well qualified. He was well equipped for the office of Messiah. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Underline that. Because the first thing that Jesus was to do, he was anointed to proclaim and to declare glad tidings to broke people. Amen. You see, listen to me. Sin had robbed us. The devil had stolen from us. Life was empty. How many of y'all will agree with me when I say before you met Jesus, your life was empty? Amen. Amen. Oh, you were existing, but you wasn't really living. Amen. In order for me to cope, I had to have something extra. Life had no meaning. Life had no purpose. But Isaiah said, he came to declare some good news to the poor. Now, I want you to think about for just a minute. I want you to think about the condition that we were in. We were broke. You ever been broke? I mean, you ever been to that place where you didn't have eye water to cry with? You ever been to that place where, as Mama used to say, you didn't have lint in your pocket? I mean, broke. Now, maybe you've never been there in the natural, but honey, I want to tell you, you've been there in the spiritual.
That's right. Amen.
But not only, listen, not only were we broke, this is why this is good news for bad people. Not only were we broke, but we had a debt hanging over our head that we could not pay. It's one thing to be broke and not owe nobody, but it's another thing to be broke and owe everybody. When you're broke and owe everybody, you're scared to answer your door. Somebody knocks on the door and you tell the children, you're scared to answer your own phone because you just absolutely sure that on the other end is somebody who's wanting what you don't have. Amen. Hi, Anthony, you preaching this morning. But listen, here's why it's good news to the poor. Here's why it's good news to the bankrupt. Because when we were bankrupt in sin and bankrupt by the devil and we were unable to pay, Jesus Christ, oh, the Son of the living God, became our substitute. He stepped in our place for us. He told the Father, I will pay for them what they cannot pay for themselves. Amen. That's why it's good news. It's good news because filthy, rotten, dirty, low-down sinners like you and I who deserve hell all of a sudden can have heaven, not because of our goodness, but because of the goodness of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. I want you to imagine for a moment that the bank calls you up and they tell you, say, brother, say, I'm finna take you home. I'm finna take your car. I'm finna take your children, because in those days, when you owed a debt that you couldn't pay, they could take your family. Amen. The bank calls you up and says, I'm gonna take all of that. Every bit of that's coming to me. Said, what you need to do, you need to do the right thing and come to our office and sign the legal documents to the agreement. And on your way to the office to sign the documents that you know that you're guilty of. You know you owe the debt. Tears in your eyes. Full of sorrow, full of pain. But oh, when you get to the office, you find out that a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You find out that a Savior who is able to save to the uttermost met you there at the office, and he's willing to pay for you what you couldn't pay for yourself.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
See, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, listen. The poor don't only mean spiritually bankrupt, but it also refers to people who are humble enough to admit that they're bankrupt. See, the reason why God can't help some of us is because we hadn't gotten to the place where we can admit that we need help from the Lord. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the humble. But listen, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you're going to get the blessing that God wants you to have, the first thing is that you got to humble yourself and admit that I am a mess getting worse. There are some people, listen, I'm closing this morning. Listen, there are some people who are going to die and bust hell wide open because they're too proud to admit that I'm in a mess and everything that I've tried hadn't worked so far. And I know in my heart that there's only one solution.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. You know what? Ain't it terrible to want to be free and can't get free?
Amen.
Ain't it bad to have to drag a load that God never intended you to carry? And deep down on the inside, you want to get rid of it. But you don't know how. Isaiah said he come to declare good news to broke people. But not only did he come to preach to the poor, he came to the deliver and to rescue and to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Have you ever been brokenhearted? Now listen, I'm not talking about brokenhearted over something somebody else done. I'm not talking about brokenhearted over what you should have done or you should accomplish. But have you ever looked at your own self?
Come on. Amen. Amen.
Listen, have you ever looked in the mirror at your own self? And it just broke your heart. Because when you know the truth, you know that God created you for much more than what you're experiencing. Have you ever looked at your sin? Have you ever looked at your mess? Have you ever looked at your garbage? Listen, have you ever had the smell of what you're living out before God? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help me preach this morning. See, that's why this is good news for bad people. He said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you something. In the world and in the church, we're brokenhearted over all the wrong things. We're brokenhearted because the stock market ain't doing as well as I hoped it would do this time. We're brokenhearted because the Titans right now are 2-8? Who's counting? Right now we're brokenhearted over all of the wrong things. Listen, when are we going to get brokenhearted about the sin and the wickedness and the evil that's in our lives? Let me tell you something. God cannot heal until you confess that you're sick. Let me tell you the problem in the church and the problem in America today. The reason why this whole nation is going down the tidy bowl fast is because we're guilty of comparing ourselves to other folks. We measure ourselves by the wrong standard. You know why we do that? Because I won't compare sin equal to sin. I'm going to find something in my life that looks a little better than what you're doing, and therefore it makes me feel good about myself. But the Bible said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he came. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal that place. You know that sore spot? You know that spot that always hurt, but you can't tell nobody about it? You know that spot that you keep hid from even the best of friends? That spot that every time you touch it, it hurts, it's painful, and it makes you cry. But listen, it won't get healed. He said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to heal, to cure those whose heart have been broken by sin and iniquity. It's good news. For bad people.
Amen. Amen.
At the very foundation of Christmas is the message of salvation. The message of grace. Think about this. Now listen. And then we're going to go home. I'll finish this another day, another time. But think about this. Just think about this for a minute. If Jesus is the reason for the season, then what's the purpose of the season? The purpose of the season is God wanted to extend to all of us the gift of forgiveness and salvation. And listen to me. Listen, Brother Wendell. That's why it breaks God's heart every time he have to condemn a soul to eternal damnation. I believe with all my heart that there are souls in hell right now. We learned that from the Gospel of Luke when Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. I believe that there are souls in hell right now. And every soul that God has sent to hell, it broke his heart. You know why? Not only because of his love, but because of the gift of Christmas. Jesus Christ died such a death that not one person, not even Adolf Hitler, in all of his meanness, in all of his evilness, not even Hitler had to die and go to hell. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning, listen to me. If you're here this morning, you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're not sure. Maybe you just don't know whether or not you've been saved. And you want to make it sure. When you're getting ready to take a trip and you got to catch the bus, you don't want to wait till the bus get there to find out whether or not you got your ticket. That's right. Amen. Amen. You don't want to wait until Jesus.